and are going. That's how bad that neighborhood is as far as economics are concerned. It's just the outpicturing of a society that doesn't believe in proper distribution of its wealth. Just vicious capitalism, big business. They don't want any black business there. So that promised black commercial supermarket and so forth, and complex, what do they call it? Shopping center. It seems to be tabled. So you need to know all that's there. Now it's going to be a while before they get them, but they're already tearing out the houses. And the way the city does things, I tell you, it was just pitiful. They tore out all the fencing behind the lot. Big steel fencing. They just tore it down with a bulldozer. Haven't got a bit of sense. People don't care about anything because that's the way it is in this society. We don't have cooperation. We got competition. Did you look at the field behind us? Those bulldozers came in there and tore down a house and literally tore up that beautiful steel fence. Just gnarled it up. Look and see. Look out over the back of us. It's a depressed area. Sickest place, I suppose, in San Francisco. But that doesn't bother me. That's where we're needed. But one thing does bother me is a bunch of fools are running around over there. Can't get them to speak to you. Can't get any cooperation. They're scared to death, like a bunch of scared rabbits running. And even suggested, oh, we've got to be careful. We're going to have a confrontation out here on the street. I'm tired of fighting with... It's a sad day when you got to think about fighting brothers. I'm not worried about fighting brothers because we have a fight, honey. We'll come out, but I don't want anybody hurt. Not the leaders. One of the leaders has been very, very hospitable other than he's really concerned that he won't get burned down. But I mean, we tried to talk to some of those people and they had no talking. They're like the Ku Klux Klan. They won't talk. They're filled with hate. They think they're better than other people. Oh, well, I don't want to go into that. Enough has been said. Now, of course, wherever you go, you got some problems. But it would be nice that we wouldn't have to worry in some areas as much. That's one thing I like about here. You don't get mugged. We can take our people to and from. You can get in here easier. You could come, that gate there could be open on Geary, and you can come right in through here. You can come right through that gate, or you can drive in here. Your car is certainly not going to be bothered in here, because we can watch them, which we don't have over there. And we got to talk some business here for just a little bit. It's 9:30. We got to talk some business. We've got to think this thing through. Now, I can make a decision for you, but you should enter in to decisions so that we can begin to produce the leadership that needs to succeed me and go out into other churches and build this kingdom of God, this apostolic socialism all over the earth. It's dear. $75,000, which would have been doubled if people had listened to me.
What about...
$75,000. I want to say this before I... We have $75,000 coming. That's on the building. We have $15,000 in personal property, which is ridiculous. But it's $90,000, which is typical of churches. Some have even much less. We got $90,000 coming out of the building. We paid $119,000 for it. But the land under it supposedly is worth $80,000. That's a question, though. I mean, that means the buildings have to be gone, and, of course, that's a long-range plan. Bart may come along. We've also been doing a lot of looking. I've been doing a lot of sleuthing. Bart may come along and go right through there. If that goes through there, then that lot would be valuable to us. And if it goes through there, everything's got to be torn down there. But there's a lot of ifs, and I bet it'll be 10 years before they get it done.
What about the old Clinton cafeteria? It has the kitchens to eat downstairs.
Where's that at?
It's on Market Street near 7th. It has quite a number of floors for apartments or whatnot. You could park underneath or on top of it.
Where's that at?
It's on Market Street near 7th. It would be an ambitious thing to take on, and I haven't seen the upstairs. It might be impossible, but it's something to look into.
Market and 7th's a rugged area?
In a way, yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
No worse than that.
It's not as rugged as where we're at.
Well, it's in a way, except that on Sundays, being a business area, Sunday, it's very quiet.
So I know.
I think the
chances of arson down there is much less likely. And you're closer. They don't want the downtown of the city to burn down. They'll get there faster.
It's right near the Greyhound Depot.
I don't seem to have it in my mind. I can't place it in my mind.
Well, as I say, it's an ambitious project, but it's a thought.
Terribly expensive property, I imagine. Well, that's what we want, is your recommendations. We'll look into it tomorrow. We're looking in things. Now, some have suggested we could go outside of San Francisco across the bridge and get some acres and build a project, which would be more secure. But in San Francisco, with our church here, we have more political strength. And that's important. You got the backing of some people. If we build outside of the city, we don't have that backing. I mean, there's not much value having the mayor of Sarasota, whatever that crazy, Sausalito. I don't know what good that'd be to have the mayor of Sausalito behind us. That'll heat it. Well, that's all right. We can handle that. Yes, sir. We want you to come. This is business, and we want you to involve yourself tonight.
Jim?
Yes.
You own the property there, right?
We do. Lock, stock, and barrel. Let's burn
it. Tear it down, build it back, and run them out.
What's that?
Tear it down.
Yes, it's a policy that the worker holds it. Would you let her do that? Thank you.
Tear it down and build it back. Run them out.
Run
who? Don't want to cooperate with you? Stay.
Don't move.
It's all right, but when you start running, when you talk about running out, you're going to have a fight.
Fight. I've been fighting for 3 years.
Well, I like to fight when it's got some sense, you know. I like to fight the honky. I like to fight Mickey Mouse. I like to fight the rich. But I never have seen much sense of fighting amongst black people. I never thought there was much sense to that. But I appreciate what you're saying. I've always figured the way you deal with people who've got a Ku Klux Klan mentality is to leave them alone or prepare to have to kill them all. Now, that's what I found with Ku Klux Klan. You understand what I'm talking about? People who are filled with race hate. You don't convert them. It finally comes to blow by blow. And I've seen hate in the Ku Klux Klan, but we converted them along the South. But some of these folks, I never saw anything like it. I think there's more hate even in some of the black groups now, more unreasonable hate. And it's really, really a sad thing. I think we should hate the system, and I think we should hate the oppressor, and I think we should hate the man that has taken advantage of us. But when we call somebody like sister that I had to run down there and run up in that church and straighten out, when we call a light-complected black sister a yellow bitch and knock down a camera and stomp on it, boy, I mean, that's insanity. There's no use to look at it any other way. It's just insanity. There's a fight on the front of those parking spaces all the time. Have to fight all the time to keep your parking spaces free. It's a running battle. And the man, as I say, next door, nearly got his brains beat out. But I tried to bring peace there. I tried to bring peace. But there's some trouble brewing over that. He's going to the grand jury. The leader of the church next door that was beat half to death. He said he's going to get an exposure of that if he has to go to the grand jury. He couldn't get anybody to come to do anything about it, so he's getting one police inspector that's interested in it. And I tried to bring peace. They said, well, he said something to one of our sisters. I went down and talked to him about that. I warned them, but there was no apologies made. But he was beat with a claw hammer until he was half dead. Now, we saw him. We did see. They ought to know we're their friends, because we could have been really difficult. I told my sisters to, not get involved. I didn't want to bring any harm to them. I don't like to see black people get further. But he said yesterday that he's going to get a grand jury hearing. Maybe that'll come, but I don't like to get in these kind of squabbles for your sake. Some of our people are right in the middle of that squabble, too. Because some of the people witnessed him being beat up, beat half to death. He was beat, so two of my sisters say, without provocation. I've tried to keep them out of it. But if worse came to worse and they go subpoenaing witnesses, those sisters will be there. They said he was beat with a claw hammer till he was practically dead. In broad daylight. Now, I think it's safer in Redwood Valley than that. Now, I'm not saying we're not going to do something in San Francisco, because we are. We're not going to be run out of here. But I mean, we've got rednecks up there. But I've never seen whites as that we couldn't get someplace to back them off. And they call themselves black capitalists, acting like that. I don't know. What's that?
I've been called black brother for 3 years.
What's that mean?
And from all of these fellows around in the neighborhood. I got a feasibility study. All you have to do is take a feasibility study of the neighborhood. Go out and have them to come in, and if you get something done, let them do it for you.
Explain yourself. You're using a little semantics that people wouldn't understand, huh?
Oh, I have some paperwork here, Jim, a lot of it. And I can show you on paper.
To what?
What the area is.
Well, what is it?
A feasibility study.
Well, go ahead. What did you... Where's the attorneys out here? Let's look at what he's got there. The attorney, where are these attorneys? Last time I saw Tim, he was having a joyous time up there praising, and I appreciated it. Oh, they're taking down that story from the newspaper. Gene, can you get up here and somebody go over this feasibility thing? Because we're getting all kinds of reports on what's going on, and we need to hear. Here's a man, he's done a feasibility study. Can you get up here, Gene? Gene? You won't be able to get it down there on the seat, honey. It won't come to you by the Spirit. He's a good sport. Yes?
It's my opinion. I was very hasty on my vote. You know, it's very easy when we say, okay, let's go fight, you know, because we're a bunch of...
Particularly it's easy for you because you live in Redwood Valley.
Right. I know it.
I'm just being funny.
That was beautiful.
You're not a coward. I know you're not.
That is true, though. You know, it's easy for us in Redwood Valley to say that because we're not living down here in the ghettos. And in
Yeah, we're only here on Fridays,
situation.
Saturdays, and Sundays.
Right. And then also a lot of these mothers here in the ghettos, you know, they're old, you know. I'm sure they'll throw their pots and pans, but when it gets right down to it, it is Jim Jones that does the fighting. And
it was me that run up in that Muslim temple, I know.
And you know, it's true that we are, the day will come when we'll have to fight, and right now we have to stand brave. But I think the object of this ministry is also to be peaceful and to love our neighbor, and it's not easy.
I think something, you bring up some point that if you mind me interject. Now, I think that we could possibly have a healthy respect for each other if we weren't so close. But they're threatened by our size. They were threatened that we had 200 people out there guarding our building. Oh, the leader said, he wasn't. But he said, you've got 200 of your people out there, and they're organized, and it's causing a paranoia on a part of our people, and we could have a confrontation. He's been very kind, one of the captains. I don't know the one leader. I never see Muhammad. I don't see him. I saw him one time. He must be out riding his Rolls Royce. I haven't seen him. But I'm talking about the captain that carries on the responsibility of the work. But this thing, this kind of talk, I mean, how can we be threatened watching our own property? So we got 200 people. We didn't have that many. But they're threatened because we got the same little thing they've got now. They've had those little talkies for a long while. Now we've got talkies because we need them. We didn't get talkies because they had them, or we'd have got them a long time ago. We've seen them run up and down with their talkies. But we've got them because we now know we need them. And I had said we needed them, and now we've got the ground to getting them. So, but it's just strange. The one of the assistants there said, we talked about dogs. He said, yeah, I know where to get the dog. And the other said, hush. That's what he said. One top leader started to tell us. He's very friendly to us, assistant to the captain. But he started to tell us where to get dogs. And he said, hush. I mean, don't talk. And they'd be talking to us on the street. They're really weird. I'd go up personally, way with my guards. I was to show them no fear, because they seemed to be scared to death. I'd walk up by myself, and my people didn't want me to do it, but I'd go clear up, and I'd walk with them, and I'd break down a little bit of it. But then along somebody'd come in a car, and they'd have to leave. They'd beg my forgiveness, and they'd have to go, just like that. They couldn't talk to me anymore. Like I was going to be able to convert them or take them away or something. I wasn't trying to convert anybody. Just trying to communicate. But I mean, these people are difficult to communicate with. Now wake up, folk, because I've been through it yesterday. I spent all day yesterday trying to communicate with those folk. And you can get someplace with an individual member, but somebody tells them to get away from us, because I think it boils down that they're threatened by our size. They don't. What's that? Well, it's obvious when the sister I raised from the dead. Sister Lewis. Huh? Look at Sister Lewis. Now that's the one they called a yellow bitch, right in the street. And that's what caused me to run up in the temple. Now they called her a yellow bitch. Come walking down. That shows you. Well, they called her a yellow bitch nonetheless. I don't care what the man, it's still that it shows a color consciousness. Why didn't they just call her a people, dirty people's temple member? They called her a yellow bitch.
They try to get every one of our members to come over to their temple.
Nobody's going to go over there. I'm not trying to get them converted, but none of us are fools enough to believe what they believe. They believe a spaceship's going to come down and take them up.
Right.
They believe that 20% of them is going to rule the 80%. And they don't have any sense of socialistic principle. It's everybody trying to get a little bit more and have the highest dog and dress the better. They don't have any concept. None of our people are going to go for that. If we did, right. I'd join it. I'd be glad. I'll support them if they get in a fight. If they're being abused, I'll stand up for them. But I don't believe no spaceship's going to lower and get anybody.
Right.
That sounds like Jesus' doctrine again, warmed over.
It's part of their custom of, if you won't buy their paper, they'll give you this, the one finger, or call your name. And they have a whole lot of our black sisters and brother that are lighter than what our sister there, that they call a name, that a member of their organization.
Well, I would love to cooperate with them, but I say, in terms of working for justice. But this idea, women can't go into the temple when they're menstruating. Men are awfully insecure to have that kind of a doctor. Or the women have to follow you and all this kind of thing and all that garb. You almost stumble over all that garb. I saw one little child has so much garb clear down around her feet that she couldn't hardly walk. That's all right. That's their bag. Then I'll defend their bag and I'll defend their right. But I'm not going to join it because I see with them out there with Rolls Royces, and that's just the old white system all over again. The leaders with their Rolls Royces. I don't want to get into anything where leaders have got Rolls Royces. I'm not interested in that. Well, even the Baptists have only Cadillacs. So the Baptist preacher's only got a Cadillac, but a Rolls Royce, they got a Rolls Royce for their leader with a closed circuit TV in it. That thing's worth $40,000. I'm not going to join that mess. Now, they better leave me alone. I'm not joining that mess, and I'm not trying to get any of them to join here. I'm not wanting any of them. Because somebody's teaching them to hate, and I don't like blind hate. I believe in hating evil, and I believe in fighting people when they're doing something to you. But I do not believe in hating people because of the color of their skin. I fought that in the Ku Klux Klan. I burned my own relatives' Ku Klux Klan clothes. I burned them up when I was only 6 years of age. I set fire to them. And by God, I didn't come to San Francisco to get the same kind of thing dressed up and called black Muslims. Hates hate. Judge people on the basis of the merit of their own works. Look at that precious white woman sitting back there in that back row. She's been the most generous to give us money to get food for Biafra and to help our works. That white woman back there, that Irish lady. And the whites here like Jane Muchman and all these white workers. Some of the white workers work so very, very hard. They've become black in consciousness. They fight for freedom. Our Mexican people and our Indians. I cannot buy that, and I won't buy it. I will not buy it. I will die before I buy it. I know how hard it is to get people converted. We know how many whites are honkies and how they behave. But as long as there's one honky in 1,000 that acts right, I'll give him a chance. I'm not going to judge everybody by the color of their skin. I could hurdle that, because all of us are mixed anyway. And they, as you say, Reverend Williams, they've got some light. I saw a woman going in there yesterday that was so light she looked white. They do have them going in there. But the thing I can't hurdle is the Rolls Royces and this thing, the upper 20. I don't understand all their doctrine, but I know they've got an upper 20. They're all working to be in the upper 20 that'll rule over the 80. I don't want none of that business. That's old capitalism. Progressive paper called them. Progressive paper, Labor Party called them black capitalists. And I think they do teach that. I don't think that's the answer. I think we need, nobody going to get to be black capitalists. Capitalists that are now in power are going to stay in power. Nobody's going to give any of that power to the black or the Mexicans. And you're just crazy to think it. There's going to have to be some control on wealth. I'm not suggesting communism in that scale or any other governmental plan or bureaucracy. I'm afraid of all these would-be radical leaders today. They don't have a dedication. They just talk socialism. They just talk change. I want to do it within our own framework for the time being. I trust us. I really don't trust leaders outside, because I've tried and I've seen nothing but just a lot of hot air. But I do say that we are not going to be able to unite with people who openly promote the system that's hurt us. No use to turn the thing around and have the same black system that's been so ugly when the whites have been doing it. Just because blacks start doing it, don't make it any nicer. What I'm saying is big business has been evil. Big business has started wars. That young man, we talked to him after the meeting, the horror of Vietnam, he told us, he's over there, how they bombed these people, get these Vietnamese, even our own allies in South Vietnam, get them in shelters and bomb them, burn them to death. Roll over them with tanks. Big business has been murder all of this country. And it's been murder when white men were doing it, and I don't want to turn around and make big business for black people. I want to get rid of this big monopoly capitalism, this terrible, warmongering big business system that I want to see rid of. I don't want to see it turned around, because a black man with money, the love of money, will be just as mean and nasty as a white man with it. All right, I've said enough on that subject.
I wanted to say, you know, like the temple that burned was a very pretty temple, but this is a useful temple. It is our temple when we're here. And we spent a long time in this auditorium, and there were many great healings here. The dead were raised here.
You made your point, honey.
And Father,
I hear you saying you want to stay in this church. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Because we don't have time to talk all night on that subject. It has spoken, I think, in the last 3 days that what you're saying. I just don't dare get a precedent of too many preaching because we won't ever get a decision here tonight.
Okay. Could we mention the apartments that you mentioned, Father, again? Like, you mentioned that the land that maybe the mayor suggested cheap and...
Well, the mayor suggested some land that we will get, but that's right in the middle of the same ghetto over there. And the way we do things, I mean, I don't like dirt and filth. I don't like dirt and filth, and I know the system makes that dirt and filth. But what I have, we'd have to have the nicest and the cleanest and the best with landscaping. And I think we put up a spot like that in the midst of that, then everybody else will be threatened. They'll be throwing rocks at us because we'll either have to take them in or they'll destroy what we got. And people don't seem to want to join us, and so if we're going to build something nice, we're going to have to go out in an area where it can be done, because you're sure not going to build the kind of thing I like to do in the midst of that section, because people, it's just a dog-eat-dog thing in these poor neighborhoods, black, white, or brown. That's the way it is. Just soon throw a rock through you. Look at the schools. Look at those windows out there. Just look at them. They've got us defeated. Got us defeated. So we just tear down our own things. They work it so we'll tear down our own windows. Just look out there. Big, beautiful windows. Just nothing in here. It works. They broke that piano. They had to lock up the piano. There's resentment, hostility, and we're killing ourselves. But if we build something nice like we like it, like we have it in Redwood Valley, we put it in that ghetto, it'll be turned. They'll be throwing rocks at it because it'll be threatened. And I'll tell you something, be doing it, be organized, be these jackleys, because they don't do anything but rob their people, and they'll be threatened because we got something right under their nose. Look at their dungeon. Look at the old dirty churches these preachers have got. All they care is that nice, shiny Cadillac. But their church, dirty, stinking. I was over there on Sutter Avenue to get that woman yesterday. Stinking. Smelled like a slop pin. He's ahead of the... You know who I'm talking about. They don't even clean their own buildings. Because those preachers are only interested in getting the money out of it and the heck with the people. And, of course, as I say, what incentive there is. You're living right next to... Everything's dilapidated. They've torn down this whole neighborhood. They call it redevelopment. All I can see, it's redestruction. That's all it looks to me like they've done to Fillmore. Just tear, tear down, tear down, tear down. And they burned out Waypack right around the corner from us. That was arson. They burned down every agency that tries to do something for the community. They burned them down. There's 59 fires this month unsolved. Now, I take too much of you. We've offered a way of escape, and I'm not going to have to be a policeman to look after you people. I don't want to do this. We can, but I know places we can go. We don't have to work that hard to keep ourselves from getting burned down. You notice they're not burning Grace Cathedral down on Knob Hill. So we'll just have to take those things in consideration. And I think we can secure this. I don't mind the neighborhood, but I want something we can secure where our cars are under our nose, because this is a mean, mean generation. So I like this particular spot. We can control things. Our children can play in fenced areas. We could even leave them out there. They were going to cut one of our children right in that park one day. One of our young men... Muchman couldn't get in that park. They put a knife to him. Took $140 off of him. Two white sisters walked up to that door, and somebody didn't open the door in time at our temple door, and they mugged them right out in front of our temple. Who talked to me about it? It's mean. Surely you know it's mean, honey. I agree that there are streets in this town that you can't be. That's why I say I'm not... just hitting the neighborhood. Here's a nice spot with a friendly school thus far. That's why I want to be sure we don't move till we know where we're going, because we do have things under control here. The thing that security needs to do is just to go through and to see that there's no dynamite bomb plant. Although I'm not worried about that immediately. I'm not worried about that. They haven't got that to that degree. Our enemies haven't got that degree. They're fighting with gasoline because they can't afford anything else. But that would be easy to done to any church. They want to set a bomb off, they can do it anywhere. I think so. But that isn't a factor that I'm really considering. I'm just looking down the road because this country's gone crazy. That's why I don't like to invest in it too much